Signs and wonders we heard about in the Acts of the Apostles. And John said that Jesus performed many other signs that too many to be written in one book. And I think we have some signs this week. Did you hear on the news that Mother Angelica, the foundress of EWTN Catholic television station worldwide, that she died on Easter Sunday evening? That was a sign, right? What a beautiful blessing. And today we have Divine Mercy Sunday, and we're in the year of mercy that Pope Francis has called for. So it's a very special day, and still Easter Sunday, 8 days in a row, the octave of Easter Sunday, that we continue that very special day. And of course, the whole season goes for 50 days. As I said last week, the joy of Easter is greater than the sorrow of Lent. Lent, 40 days. Easter, 50 days, leading up to Pentecost and the sending of the Holy Spirit. We also have another sign today, and it is April the 2nd and April the 3rd today, yesterday being April the 2nd. And remember that Pope John Paul II died on the Vigil of Divine Mercy Sunday. And yesterday was the first time since then, that was 2005, now 2016, first time since then that his death date fell on the Vigil of Divine Mercy Sunday. It won't happen again until the year 2157, so we ain't going to be on Earth at that time, all right? We're going to be in the next life. And who knows, maybe the world will already be ended by that time. Who knows? But so let us celebrate with great joy in the Lord. So I think the Lord wants me to talk to you a little bit about that Divine Mercy devotion and how it came about. Well, it started, of course, because God is all merciful, right? You can read that plenty of times in the Old Testament and, of course, in the New Testament. As Jesus came to do what? Save us from our sins. That's what Jesus means. Yehoshua is his Hebrew name. We get Jesus out of that in English. Yehoshua, or Yeshua in the short form. It means God saves, right? So Jesus came to save us from our sins, to give us his mercy. And we heard in Psalm 118 today, his mercy endures forever. And in the gospel today, he told his disciples, go out, and whose sins you retain, they are retained, but if you forgive them, they are forgiven. So Jesus gave us a sacrament to give his mercy. First being baptism, as Mose and Shelton were baptized last week, right? And the mercy of God came down upon them. All their sins previous to this point in their life were forgiven. But how do we receive God's mercy after baptism, for sins after baptism? We should definitely try not to sin after baptism. But sometimes we do. And so we must repent, obviously, and every day make our act of contrition, but also go to the sacrament of confession, of reconciliation on a regular basis. God made me a priest to be here for you, so that you could receive that very mercy that he told his apostles to go out. So he didn't give them this for nothing, right? He didn't say go out and don't hear sins, right? Go out and forgive them. Go out and spread my mercy. So mercy is certainly at the heart of God for us, and it is throughout the Bible, nothing new. But God asked that there be a special feast day of divine mercy established, and it wasn't until 1931 when Jesus appeared to a Polish nun, Faustina, Sister Faustina, and he revealed to her this devotion to the divine mercy. And he asked that Sunday after Easter Sunday be declared to be Divine Mercy Sunday, all right? And so it has taken place. How did it take place? Well, it started off small. And then Sister Faustina, Jesus told her, you're going to have trouble to make this devotion known. And indeed, that's what happened. A bad translation of her diary in Polish was given to the Pope at the Vatican at the time. And so he said that in 1959, he said, no more of this devotion. We have to keep it quiet for now. We're not sure about this. And because the church has to look at all of these things. Many times there have been false things that have come up that were not from God, but were ultimately from the evil one. So the church has to always discern and be very careful about it before it approves something. It has to make sure it's correct, right? And so it did that, 1959, until 1978, at the work of Cardinal Karol Wojtyła, who was the Cardinal Archbishop of Krakow, Poland. And he finally convinced the Vatican, gave them a good translation of her diary, that this was totally legitimate, that this is all in line with Scripture and with the sacred tradition of the Church. And so in April 1978, the Pope approved it. And he said, yes, it can go forward again. And no big surprise, but 5 or 6 months later, in October of 1978, who was made Pope? The Archbishop of Krakow, Karol Wojtyła, right? Pope John Paul II. And he promoted this devotion and the Chaplet of Divine Mercy and the Novena, ending yesterday and celebrated today. In 1993, he beatified Sister Faustina. She became Blessed Faustina. And then in the year 2000, she became the first new canonized saint for the new millennium of this year 2000, you know, representing the third millennium of the existence of the church, the beginning of it. He canonized her, so she's Saint Faustina, and he declared Divine Mercy Sunday for the second Sunday of Easter, all right? So, powerful things. And then the ultimate sign of all, when did John Paul II die? But on April the 2nd, the vigil, it would be the Saturday night of the vigil, like last night, of Divine Mercy Sunday, after his personal secretary had celebrated the Mass of Divine Mercy Sunday, the vigil Mass, 4 o'clock, right? Gave him Holy Communion, and he said, let me go to the Father. Let me go to my Father's house, right? And that's where we all ultimately want to arrive at. But do you see the signs? You have to read the signs of the times and to see the powerful hand of God working in our world. And somebody put together the ABCs of Divine Mercy. The A, the letter A, stands for ask for mercy. So we have to ask for God's mercy. The only sin that cannot be forgiven is the one you don't ask for. The one you don't repent of. That's the only way God can't forgive you, is if we refuse to ask his forgiveness, right? His mercy. So don't hold anything back, right? Ask for God's mercy for all of our sins. I'm a sinner too. We have to ask for God's mercy for all of our sins and repent of them and change our lives with the grace of God to do better and better with the work and the grace and the power of God. Ask for mercy. We cannot out-sin God's mercy, right? Because God is greater than we are. And so we should always ask for that mercy. The letter B stands for be merciful. If we want to receive God's mercy, we have to be merciful to our brothers and sisters, right? We say it in the Our Father every day. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. It's the same thing. Be merciful with me, Heavenly Father, as I will be merciful with my brothers and sisters around me. Right? In the words we say and in the actions that we do, we have to be merciful. And the letter C is completely trust in Jesus. If you've ever seen a picture of that divine mercy, they have the white ray coming from his heart, the red ray coming from his heart, and underneath the words are, Jesus, I trust in you. Right? Such a powerful prayer. Jesus, I trust in you. Always trust in Jesus. Never fail in trusting him and in his great divine mercy. This is what Jesus told Faustina about those rays coming out of his heart. It said, the white ray stands for the water, which makes souls righteous. The red ray stands for the blood, which is the life of souls. These two rays issued forth from the depths of my most tender mercy at the time when my agonizing heart was opened by a lance on the cross, Fortunate is the one who will dwell in their shelter, for the just hand of God shall not lay hold on him. Right? When Jesus was killed on the cross, right? They broke the legs of the other two to make sure they were dead or to make them die quickly. Jesus had already died. So they, but just to make sure, they put that lance into his side. And what came out? John the Apostle tells us, because he was standing there, he could see it. Blood and water. And if you die on a cross, water is going to collect around your heart, your pericardium. It's a scientific fact, right? When you suffocate on the cross like that. And so water and blood poured forth from his sacred heart. And the Romans knew, you pierce the right side of the heart because it's weaker than the left side. The left side of the heart is more tougher. Right side is weaker. They always pierced on the right side. They were masters at execution and killing people. So they knew all those scientific things. But the water is what? For baptism? The blood and the body of Christ for the Eucharist. The sacraments of initiation pouring forth out of the side of Christ. And that's what makes the church, right? And where did Eve come from? The side of Adam. And the church, the new Eve, perfectly seen in St. Mary, and she was standing there too, comes out of the side of Christ as he was in the deep sleep of death. Just like God put Adam into a divine sleep and took out that rib and made Eve, Jesus was in the deep sleep of death when the church was born, was conceived, came forth from the side of Christ our Lord through the sacraments. And that's what Mose and Shelton shared in Easter Vigil and 44,000 others as well, right? That's what we were about, because Jesus said, go out and baptize all nations in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We've been doing that for 2,000 years. And after that, hearing people's confessions that they can still dwell in the divine mercy of the Lord. Now, divine mercy has a special connection with Sunday, the Lord's Day. We sang in Psalm 118 today, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. And that was our opening hymn as well, right? So there's something special about this day. For the Jewish people, it was the Sabbath. Sabbath means seven. Sunday is the first day of the week when God created the sun, right? And the Sabbath for the Jews is on Saturday, the seventh day, the day that God rested. But for us Christians, our Sabbath is on Sunday because that's the day that the Son of God, the S-O-N of God, rose from the dead, resurrected, Easter Sunday. And here we are on the octave of Easter Sunday, still celebrating that special day. And you heard from St. John in the letter to, or in the book of Revelation that he wrote, he says, I was caught up in spirit on what day? The Lord's Day. That's Sunday. You can call it Sunday, you can call it the Lord's Day, whatever you want. I was caught up in spirit on the Lord's Day, and what did he do? He had a vision of Jesus. Jesus revealed himself to him. This is way after the resurrection. This is closer to the death of St. John, right? Later in his life. Jesus revealed himself on the Lord's Day, showing you the importance of Sunday. And then in the Gospel today, John chapter 20, it said, on the evening of the first day of the week, first day, Sunday, Jesus appeared to the apostles in the locked room. You didn't have to open the door. When you're in a resurrected body, you're not limited to the earthly rules anymore. They didn't have to take the stone away from the tomb for Jesus to walk out. He didn't need that. He walked right through it. They took the stone away so that the women and the men could look inside and see that Jesus wasn't there anymore, right? That's the resurrected body experience. So Jesus appears to the 10 disciples there. Thomas was missing. Judas was out of the picture already. And he reveals himself to them. Peace be with you. Look at my hands. Look at my side where they pierced me. So it was the same body that Jesus had on the cross that he resurrected with. Just like you're going to have your same body when you resurrect, but it'll be glorious and will not be limited anymore to the earthly rules. A resurrected body. It's spiritualized, but it's the same body we have on earth. But it's perfected. It's given all sorts of wonderful powers. And so Jesus could show his body to them. that it was truly, truly him. And Thomas was not there, showing us that if you miss Sunday, you're going to miss meeting the resurrected Lord Jesus. That's why we have to come to church on Sunday. And it shouldn't be have to. It should be dying to, right? To come and meet the Lord and be with him, right? In the Blessed Sacrament where he is truly bodily present, his resurrected body. So Thomas learned his lesson, and then the next Sunday he is there. Today, Divine Mercy Sunday. And Jesus says to him, Thomas, stop your unbelieving. Come put your finger right here in the hole in my hands that I died for you. Come put your hand into my side when they pierced my side and water and blood flowed out for your salvation. Stop your unbelieving. Come and touch me and see that I am real. I have resurrected from the dead. And so every Sunday we are given the privilege of meeting the resurrected Lord right here. And you can come to Mass even every day and meet the resurrected Lord, right? Because he's right there in the tabernacle. He's bodily present there. And in a few moments on this altar, that bread and wine back there, placed on this altar, when I say the words of Jesus, this is my body and this is the chalice, this is my blood, the miracle takes place. And Jesus is here on that altar, right? So Jesus says, stop your unbelieving, but believe. Touch me and see. And if you get to receive this Holy Communion, there you do. You do experience that. And if not receiving, at least you're in the presence of the bodily resurrected Lord. So what a great gift. What a powerful blessing that it is. St. Faustina said this about the Mass. She said, oh, what awesome mysteries take place during Mass. A great mystery is accomplished in the Holy Mass. With what great devotion should we listen to and take part in this death of Jesus? Because that's what's happening on the altar. We're seeing his death and resurrection. One day we will all know, she says, what God is doing for us in each Mass and what sort of gift he is preparing in it for us. Only his divine love could permit that such a gift be provided for us. So now it's belief. Later, it'll be with sight through our resurrected eyes. But now we have to make that act of faith. Yes, Lord, I trust in you. I believe in you. I know what you're saying is true. And I want to be with you in heaven. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Alleluia. Alleluia. Amen.